This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertley. Good morning. The most common mosquito-borne viral infection in the world is not the one that receives the most media attention, at least not lately. It's the dengue virus, which infects nearly 400 million people annually. So while the Zika virus has received most of the headlines in recent months, it is certainly newsworthy that researchers at UVM are leading the way in helping to develop a vaccine for the dengue virus. Along with researchers from Johns Hopkins University and the National Institutes of Health, UVM scientists tested the effectiveness of a potential dengue vaccine in humans, and it worked. That is, the vaccine protected 100% of the human volunteers from a weakened form of the dengue virus. Researchers hope the success of this initial test could speed up development of the vaccine, though it still needs to be tested on thousands of people in clinical trials. We visited UVM recently to speak with Beth Kirkpatrick and Sean Deal, both professors of infectious disease medicine at UVM, with Deal focusing on immunobiology, and their colleagues on the study, Anna Durbin of Johns Hopkins University and Stephen Whitehead of the National Institutes of Health. We talked with them about what the results of their dengue vaccine test mean and if this same kind of testing could help with the testing of a future Zika vaccine. Can you describe first how that test was structured and what the results were?
Well, I first would say that the vaccine itself has been tested on many hundreds, if not at this point thousands of volunteers. So the vaccine testing has actually been going on for 15 years to test this vaccine. So the vaccine itself is made of the four components of dengue virus. Dengue has four serotypes. These vaccine components are tested individually over about a 10 to 15 period of time. And the vast majority of the work to this point has been safety testing and immunologic testing of this vaccine. So what this current study is now is the first time this vaccine, we actually have data to show the vaccine works against and protects against infection with dengue virus.
Dr. Whitehead, I want to ask about the vaccine itself. You helped design this at the NIH. How long did that take? When did you know that it was ready to move ahead to trials?
We began our work on this vaccine probably over 15 years ago. We took a stepwise approach. We developed each of the components separately, showed that they were safe and that they were immunogenic, you know, that they produced antibody against dengue. And then once we had all four of those in our back pocket, then we combined them together. And at that point, we saw that through our testing here at UVM and at Johns Hopkins, that the vaccine was actually going to give us good immune responses to all four serotypes, that it was safe. And that was our clue. Now, what's next? We know it's safe. We know it's immunogenic. Can we demonstrate this in the clinic? And that's where the Dengue 2 challenge came along.
Sean Deal, are you the right person to ask about dengue virus itself? Because for folks who may have heard it in the news, they may not know exactly why this is such a difficult and really bad disease. I mean, what are the effects of this disease for people who contract it?
The effects of this disease can be asymptomatic in some people, but in a large proportion of people, there is associated fevers, there is a rash, and in a select subset of people, it could lead to what's known as dengue hemorrhagic fever or dengue shock syndrome. And based on the nearly 400 million cases, this is actually a fairly substantial actual number of people worldwide that actually have severe disease.
Dr. Durbin, I wonder about the sample test trials and, you know, do you think this is a large enough sample to say this is now a vaccine that we can use in much wider, widespread for folks and to help people out?
That's a really great question. And something I think that's important to note is although we've tested the vaccine and the different components of the vaccine in upwards of 1,000 people, what's important to remember is this vaccine formulation itself has been tested in about 100 people. So we had failures along the way. We tested multiple dengue 2 components, dengue 3 components, dengue 4 components before we found that component, that dengue 4, that should be included in the final tetravalent formulation. So we had trials where we had failed candidates. That's why it's taken 15 years. So although we have a lot of data in, you know, upwards of 1,000 people on these different viruses, we've only tested the final combination here in the United States in about 100 people. Now, I will say in Brazil, this formulation is being tested in several hundred people and now has entered a phase 3 trial, which it will be tested in 17,000 people. So that study will give us enough safety data as well as data about whether or not the vaccine will work for licensure. So right now, I don't think we have enough safety data because there can be very rare side effects that we won't see. You know, if it occurs at a rate of 1 in 10,000, that means you have to vaccinate 10,000 people before you'll see it. And then you don't know, well, is that real or is it, you know, just happenstance?
Dr. Whitehead, let me ask you this. It's been mentioned that this model of human testing of vaccines is helpful beyond simply determining the efficacy of the vaccine. What else can it show scientists about dengue?
We were actually hoping that this challenge study would also help us identify what part of the immunity is protective, a correlate of protection, if you would. So we do the trial. Everybody was protected. This is great news for the vaccine, but it was made it very difficult to kind of tease out what this correlate of protection would be. Is it antibodies that are protective? Is it T-cell immunity that is protective? Is it both? Is it neither? And to do that, you need a variable level of effectiveness.
Another way to say it is, what is the best blood test that you can do to predict whether a vaccine will work? And will that same blood test predict whether the vaccine will work in every single person? To tell you the truth, for a lot of other vaccines, people have not really gone under the hood very much to try to understand whether the immune response is very similar among people and whether it leads to protection. And that's why the team here between UVM, Hopkins, and NIH is digging deeper into sort of next generation vaccinology. So combining the vaccine understanding with the immune system to be able to design next generation blood tests that will predict whether somebody would need a second dose of vaccine or certain people might respond right away for it.
You know, the public hears things like this, and for people that suffer worldwide from dengue, they want to know, okay, but when can we have this vaccine to use? How close are you after these results? You know, and Dr. Whitehead sounded pretty excited about this so far, but how close do you think this is to becoming something that would be approved for, you know, widespread use for people to protect against this virus?
So as I mentioned earlier, there's a very large 17,000 person trial that was started in Brazil on February 22nd. That trial will tell us how well this vaccine protects against natural dengue. They hope to enroll all 17,000 people within a year. And then over the course of that first year and probably into the second year, depending on the dengue season, they will be able to determine how well it protects. They are hoping to have that vaccine licensed in Brazil in 2018.
You know, we're talking so much about Zika making headlines now, and there's real concerns about links now to Guillain-Barré syndrome, as well as some birth defects in pregnant women. Are you planning to test the Zika vaccine with the same type of study?
At the NIH, we are committed to developing a Zika vaccine that we can add to our tetravalent dengue vaccine. Because in South America and in Latin America, dengue virus and Zika virus circulate in the same areas. People need vaccination against both of them.
Let me ask a question that's not as, you know, science-oriented here. It's more about your own human reactions to what's happened with this collaboration. I mean, a lot of work has gone in. You've been working together on this, and it seems like you're at an exciting point right now. Are all of you excited about the potential for this vaccine? Is this something we should be making a big deal out of? Or are you going to tell our listening audience to exercise some caution, curb your enthusiasm, if you will?
We are not out of the woods yet. You have to demonstrate the protection in a phase 3 study. But we designed the study so far to kind of give us a clue. You know, have we reached a point of no return where we can go forward? Or do we need to go back to the lab and reinvent a new vaccine compound or a new vaccine? At this point, I think we're very encouraged moving forward. There's always guarded optimism, and I often don't sleep at night worrying that, you know, how is this going to turn out? Mm-hmm. I am now more optimistic from the results of the challenge study that this vaccine will move forward.
Well, it sounds to me like the potential is here to perhaps really help millions and millions of people, which is very exciting. I want to thank you all. Dr. Beth Kirkpatrick, Professor of Infectious Disease Medicine at UVM, Dr. Anna Durbin of Johns Hopkins University, Dr. Stephen Whitehead, National Institutes of Health, and Dr. Sean Deal, Assistant Professor of Medicine at UVM. Thank you all very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.